cautionary tale, if ever there was one. So stewardship, we actually do it at home, at work, in clubs, and in church. Recently, I updated the sign which sits beside the donations box outside in the entrance to the church. I wonder how many of you spotted the change. I did it about 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you can read the small print there, but the wording is simple. It costs around £115 a day to run this building. That includes the insurance, the heating, the lighting, the water, phones, caretaking, administrating, not to mention any capital investments like the new screens that you're seeing that on, and painting and decorating and maintaining all the rooms. £115 a day. Staggering. We thank people for their generosity. Perhaps we should thank them for their good stewardship, because the two are very much linked together. In our introductory theme, we mentioned Malawi, and this picture shows Goodwin Zienga, who some of you know and have met, together with his mum. Elaine and I had been invited to go and meet them and have lunch with them, but sadly, we were running late, so we couldn't stay for lunch. Well, she couldn't let us go empty-handed, so she insisted on giving us lunch to take on the road. And that's the chicken in the bag, still clucking. And it sat in the back of our van all the way to our next meeting, because we couldn't turn it down. The poor lady, she owned about 20 chickens, and she gave us one. That is a huge deal, isn't it? And as you can see, she had to get dressed up to do this. Her clothing was white as anything I've ever seen, but it was washed in the river to get it that white. Absolutely amazing. Sadly, she's no longer with us. Where are we? There we are. That's another picture of that school in Namiwawa. That was the assembly, usually conducted in open air and always including the national anthem of the country. God bless Malawi for all the goods we have. And they have almost nothing, but they're still blessing God for that. And this is the Ladies' Guild singing in church. Nana obviously remembers such scenes. Again, just look how crisp and white their clothing is for church. They always dressed up in their best for the occasion and often sang. When we were at this church, Elaine preached. She was the first woman ever to preach in this church. And can you look at the church? What's missing? The roof. And what we did was I presented the senior elder with a 5p coin, a bit like that tambala, and promised that if he took that, more would follow. And that's when the Congregational Federation took up the pledge and provided several roofs for different churches around Malawi. And that church now has a roof. It's only a tin roof, mind you, but it is a roof, because when it rains, my golly, does it rain in Malawi. Outside the church, there's the Thank You God shoe repairs, one of the typically unusual names that businesses had around there. And this is the sort of business that we might be lending our £15 to help him develop, perhaps not just have a shack like that, but a proper shop. We also have links to WaterAid. And although the watering can isn't any longer on the step, largely because the pennies and coppers were a real pain to collect up and bank, to be honest, the deacons agreed that once a year we would hold a dedicated service for WaterAid. And this year that happens to be on the 20th of July when I'm next preaching. And we've got somebody from WaterAid coming to talk to us, and the offering on that day will go to that organisation. And I'm hoping and praying that that offering will be more than the pennies and coppers that we added up during the year previously. So that's the 20th of July. And on top of all that, we have our annual tithes that we decide at our church meeting. And we give generously each year to, this time I think it was two, if not three charities, three different charities we gave a considerable sum of money to. But that doesn't mean we can just sit back and smug and think, oh, it's all been done. Because one of the most important things in the Bible is stewardship. The classic reading on the subject was the one that Leslie gave us from Matthew 25. And in the message, it is entitled, The Story About Investment. There are just over 2,300 verses in the Bible dedicated to stewardship and generosity. Now, there are only 31,000 verses in the Bible in total, 23,000 in the Old and 7,000 or 8,000 in the New. So the mathematicians among you will have worked out that 7.3% of the Bible is dedicated to stewardship. And as there's around 40 different authors who wrote the modern-day Bible, I find it amazing that God used so many wise words for various different authors. Of course, these figures will vary slightly depending on which Bible it is you're reading, because it wasn't until 1555, I think, when the Bible as we know it had chapters and verses and was set out the way it is today. Now, yeah, I've got a joke for you now to lighten the mood. Talking of good stewards, I recently bought a book entitled How to Have Nothing to Do with Your Neighbours, and I ordered it on Amazon. How to Have Nothing to Do with Your Neighbours. Unfortunately, I was out when it was delivered. So, you got it. Hey! Another joke for you about stewardship. The Scout trustees have their meeting here once a month. At the end of the last meeting, I ran home behind the bus and saved £2 in bus fare. And when I got home, Elaine said I was a fool, because if I'd run home behind a taxi, I could have saved £10. I'm glad you're on the right wavelength now.
Get a bus pass.
Get a bus pass. I've got a bus pass, actually, but the joke wouldn't work. Jokes do make a point, though. Humour is a very effective way to work through sensitive topics and to diffuse the inherent discomfort about congregations talking about money and stewardship. Stewardship doesn't have to be a drudge or a chore. It can also be fun and rewarding in itself. Where am I? Yeah, we're okay.
Peppa Pig World.
Peppa Pig World. Yeah, I'm doing a Boris here and losing my pages. Don't worry. We have to be good stewards in a variety of different ways. It is not just about money. We have to be stewards of our talents and skills, like the gas man. That skill might be green fingers, a musical ability, exceptional compassion, physical fitness, although looking round, we're struggling on that one, aren't we? But it is a skill. We may not be able to do something, but we might know a person who can. But unlike the Messrs. Flanders and Swan, it has to be a person that could do a good job and not a bodger. I'm sure you can think of even more talents and skills amongst you. We have to be good stewards of our time as well. We spend around an hour a week in worship, perhaps only 5 hours a month. It's not a lot, is it? We may spend time in prayer, silently, individually, and collectively. We read our Bibles and perhaps other commentary work about those Bible readings. Meeting socially in church groups and in other groups will help our mental well-being and the mental health of others. All work and no play, etc., etc., etc. We also have to be good stewards of our testimony. We should not be quiet about what the Lord has done for us. We can share our stories with people. For the brave few that might be shouting out our faith in the market square, or being a town chaplain and walking along the streets. It might be leading worship or house group, or just as importantly, it may be sitting alongside a person and quietly listening to their story. All this is stewardship in various shapes and guises, and it's not just something that a few of us do. It should be something that all of us do. That is the important thing. A church minister, a pastor, a treasurer, a secretary, and a deacon, these people have more defined roles perhaps, but everyone is building a responsibility for their own stewardship within the church. We looked at various ways of being good stewards earlier. Our generosity with Lend with Care, for example, and our continued work with Malawi and the children's work there, and our links with WaterAid. But what does the Bible say on this subject? Well, where do I start? I'll give you a few verses. This is about being a good steward generally, and this is from Titus. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright and holy discipline. Or if we look at being a steward of talents, then in the first book of Peter, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anybody speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anybody serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power, forever and ever. And then in Deuteronomy, they're talking about stewardship of money and wealth here. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gave you that ability to produce that wealth and so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And then perhaps one of the best known quotes from the Bible, which is often misquoted, about the stewardship of money. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Stewardship of time from Ephesians. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that was our opening worship this morning, call to worship. And finally from Matthew about stewardship of testimony. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them all and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Well, here's the thing. The problem with all this, well, what I'm trying to say is that none of us is a saint. And these Bible verses might just frighten us off to start with, thinking we are not good enough. But that would be to judge ourselves or to prejudge things. Nobody says we're perfect, far from it. We're a bunch of rogues, really. Well, maybe that's pushing it a bit, but we all do strive to be better. I will always remember a church service in Greater Manchester somewhere. might even have been an area assembly. We had a time of extempore prayer, which is a posh term for making it up as we go along. During this time of open prayer, John Turner, a lovely man and a real treasure in his own way, started his prayer with these words: "God, why did you make it so hard?" And that's it, isn't it? I really appreciated him praying that. But maybe we turn that very short prayer on its head. God can make it easy for us. It's ourselves who make it hard. We pour all sorts of obstacles in our own way, and we should trust the Lord more. Right, to ease the tension a bit, I've got my last joke, all right? There was once a strong man in a circus. He was in a sideshow, demonstrating his power before a large audience every night. And towards the end of the performance, he squeezed the juice of a lemon between his hands, and he said to onlookers, "I will offer £200 to anyone who can squeeze another drop of juice from this lemon." One evening, a little old lady came up to the stage. She picked up the lemon, clamped it between her hands, and she squeezed, and out came a teaspoonful of lemon juice. The strong man was amazed. He paid the woman the £200 and then quietly asked her, "What was the secret of your strength?" "Practice," said the woman. "I've been the treasurer of my church for years." Matthew says, "Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where most moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." That's the very earthly take on a deeply spiritual issue. You get the stewardship message immediately, though. He is not promising that we can take our treasure to heaven, but he is telling us the use of the money in this life will not work against us in the next. So that's it in a nutshell. Just 16 of the 2,300 verses on stewardship from the Bible. If nothing else, remember that final verse: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Amen.